the thing that concerns me is that none of us are as enlightened as we would like to be, which is also for self.
Right.
Given that that's how you understand it, what do? You do nothing? Is there value in action that you believe is good, whether it's for other or for yourself or for Dharma? I think that that's the difficulty, because there's such a subtleness in the awareness. We're not there already enlightened to be able to do it in a pure selfless way. But I still feel there's value. There has to be value in making an action that you feel is a good action. And so for me, I think that the mundaneness of life and the complexity of life around us sometimes makes it very difficult to understand what the motivation really is. But at the end of the day, if it's a good action, at least I think you're pointed in the right direction. Why would you want to do the third? What would be the motivation for wanting to do the third?
When there's no self, there are only realities. And Panya can see what is right and what is wrong, what is wholesome and what is wholesome. So Panya tells and knows and conditions such deeds.
So if the goal is to divest yourself of the awareness of self or the motivation of doing things for self, then what is the goal of that?
I think that in order to understand better and perfect that there is no self at all, and at moment of wholesomeness, it's not for the self. So when one feels and knows that it's not for I or for me, but it's the nature of wholesomeness itself, one can see that it's different from when there is no understanding about no self. There's always self for the self all the time.
Those things that we do that are only for the self keep us in the self and trap us here.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring that with us.
Until there is the beginning of understanding reality as it is. Because actually, reality cannot be a self at all. Seeing cannot be a self. Hearing cannot be a self. Thinking cannot be a self. Because it's conditioned. It arises and falls away. All the time, in split seconds. Never come back at all. Just keep on going. And that is the meaning of samsara. And samsara is also this moment. Each moment is samsara. Non-stop.
What I meant at the beginning about the clarity of your thought, I think for me, is the importance. We do most of our action without a clarity of thought, which is part of what keeps us invested in the self, because of the conditioning, because of what we carry with us. And I'm certainly not using the same terminology that you would use, but that's how I see it. So each action coming from self just perpetuates the condition, which goes back to the point of, am I trying to take a good action for my own motivation so that I will feel good or look good, or am I doing it for the purpose of helping another? Unless you said that which can be mixed, where I'm helping them, but it also helps me.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I doing it for the pureness of the wholesomeness of the act? But I'm still acting.
Mm-hmm.
So is it me that's acting when it's only for the wholesomeness? Who is acting?
Citta.
I'm not sure what that term means.
Consciousness.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We're so used to thinking of a self that does act, but actually, if we really get down to it, there are just different kinds of realities, moments of consciousness, one moment at a time, accompanied by different kinds of mental factors. Maybe a moment of consciousness with greed, or a moment of consciousness with anger, or a moment of consciousness with kindness. So different moments of consciousness with different kinds of mental states changing all the time. The more one appreciates that there are just these different kinds of realities, what we call chittas, consciousness, chetasikas, mental factors, and rupas, physical phenomena, then one sees more that the idea of self is an illusion.
Yes. So while it's important to have an understanding of the situation, it's also important to act in the world and to act in a right way. And my question was, if you're only acting for the wholesomeness, what does it accomplish?
Everyone will get good result from that. Not just you or the others, but all.
Can we say that for these three kinds, the act may be the same, but the motivation is different? So the same good deeds may be performed, but the motivation can become purer and purer with a more refined, developed understanding.
But it still seems to me that at a practical level, there has to be a genuine motivation to try to be other than self, to try to help other than self, as a pure place to start. And what I've seen as a, for me at least, is that, as I said, there's no shortcut. You have to have all the experiences that life offers over multiple lifetimes, that you can't do it all in one lifetime.
Khunsu Jin always reminds us that actually when one appreciates more and more how different realities, such as the moments of consciousness, are conditioned now and not in anyone's control, because there isn't a self to control them, they're just as they are conditioned, as you say, in a sense it matters less and less what the realities are now, because they're just as they are conditioned. So whether they're pure or impure, good or bad, or whether they're just moments of seeing or hearing, whatever it is, regardless by conditions, awareness can develop, understanding can develop, to know them as they appear, not by wishing they were another way.
The journey, we're talking about the journey, we are along in the journey. What's the destination and where is it?
It's not about a destination for me.
No destination?
The journey itself for me is what's important.
Yes, to where?
To enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. But there must be destination. Otherwise we just walk or go along without any destination at all. Like many people just born and die all the time.
I think destination for me implies self.
On non-self? Self or no self?
Where am I going?
Can the goal be panya? Enlightenment means panya, which can understand this moment as it is. Because we are talking about the arising and falling away of each moment, that can be discerned with panya, but not at level of listening or considering. Because when we talk about hardness without experience it, we cannot know how hard it is at all, just by talking about hardness. But at moment when there is touching, hardness appears, and we don't have to use any term to explain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we cannot explain at all. How can we use such direct word to explain it? Because so many degrees, very complex. So at that very moment, right understanding can understand just hardness, that it cannot be anything else. And from head to toe, when there is experience of the body, it's hard. So can that hardness be self? Or the citta, the consciousness or cetasika, the mental factors like hatred or attachment, it arises when there are conditions for its arising. Not just one condition, many conditions to condition its arising, and then fall away instantly. Can that be self? Because it's gone completely. Anything which arises and falls away, can that be the self? Because now, never come back, just completely gone. So if we are looking to the self, we'll see that there is no self. There are only different realities appearing through different doorways. And that is the goal of the journey, to attain with panya, which can understand realities as they are.
So could we say that at the moment of right understanding, even though it's not thinking about the goal, it's a moment of at least facing the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we may be thinking that we are not concerned about the goal, if this moment there's not right understanding, then we aren't facing the right direction.
I think you have to live in the moment. I'm heading in that direction, or I'm heading for that goal.
And it is only right understanding that knows the present moment.
Well, I'm not an advocate of exclusory approaches. I'm not sure, because for me, I can't be certain that my view is identical to anyone else's or that their view is identical to mine.
There's a sutta from Suchin that people often quote to us, which follows on from what Tom was saying about if one says, oh, this is the truth, only this is the truth, and nothing else is the truth. If one's not enlightened, one shouldn't speak like that. Only the enlightened can really say, well, this is the truth. How would you address this?
Before becoming enlightened, can there be some understanding of the truth?
Well, it has to develop,
yeah.
But in the sutra it says that if one says, oh, this is truth, this is right, then it's not speaking correctly.
In order to be certain that hardness cannot be taken for self or anything at all, it needs the development of understanding of hardness until hardness appears as it is, arising and falling away. Can anyone say that now it arises and falls away when it's not the moment which experiences it?
So all we can actually say is, according to our limited understanding from what we read in the text, hardness arises and falls away.
One can say, but it depends on the understanding of that person. Because if you say that no, hardness does not arise, it doesn't fall away at all. Whatever appears has to arise so that it can appear. If it does not arise, how can it appear? By understanding about the truth of reality from the very beginning, we develop the understanding that it's true, but it depends on how much one experiences it.
How firm that understanding is. Otherwise there are bound to be doubts, or one's bound to have different ideas that maybe other old teachings say the same.
Tom, you're saying that if there's the idea of a goal or a destination, that that implies the idea of a self?
I think it can, certainly. Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether you'd comment on that.
We have to consider whether there is a self or not.
Well, I don't think there is a self.
So the goal is...
But my perception at the moment, because I'm not enlightened, is that I cannot
That's it. That's why, as long as there is the wrong understanding from taking realities for self, there can be more panya developed, so that there can be the perfect understanding of no self, only different realities arising and falling away. That's the goal.
I would have to say that the center point for me is point of view. What is my point of view as being invested in the self, not being enlightened, but being at this moment? What is my point of view that will direct my action?
What is the ultimate reality of the point of view?
That I can change it.
It's only thinking.
Yes, but it influences my action.
Yes, with right understanding it brings more right thinking.
But where does right understanding come from if it isn't point of view?
There can always be the idea of I or self,
yeah,
as long as there is no understanding of reality which is appearing right now. For example, is seeing the self?
Is seeing the self?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just seeing.
No, is hearing the self?
No, these are just perceptions.
So is thinking the self?
No, that's just the mechanism of my mind.
There are two kinds of reality. One is the reality that cannot experience, cannot know anything at all. Hardness cannot know anything, it cannot experience, it cannot think at all. Hardness, smell, taste, visible object can be seen, but the visible object cannot think. Even we don't call it a visible object, whatever reality which arises but cannot experience anything is real. But it's not the reality which can experience anything. So there are two kinds of realities. One cannot experience anything at all, and the other, whenever it arises, it has to experience or know an object at that very moment. For example, how can one know that there is visible object without seeing? Impossible, right?
Well, the senses connect us to the world.
Yes, but thinking about realities, visible object is so real when it appears, not at moment of hearing. So visible object which is now appearing appear to seeing, not to hearing, not to thinking. So what is real at this moment is that which can experience visible object and visible object which cannot experience anything. Where is the self at that moment? Each moment is the function of mental reality, like we call consciousness, that which can experience by seeing, hearing, smelling and thinking in a day, in the whole life. If we classify each moment as what reality is there, seeing is right now, and hearing, when it arises, it hears, it's real at moment of hearing. So reality is each moment, which has its own characteristic as the one that cannot experience anything, and the other can experience. Without the reality which can experience, there will be no thing at all. But whenever there is the reality which can experience and the thinking thinks about many things which is experienced, it constitutes the idea of self and world and people and things. But if we consider or try to find out that can the visible object be something, or it is just that reality that can impinge on the eye base, and without citta, which experience it, even visible object right now cannot appear. So no self at all. Each moment must be nama, that which can experience an object, and rupa, that which cannot experience anything, no matter in this world or the other worlds. Far away, there can be only two types of realities. One can experience, and the other cannot experience anything, no self.
So when I'm unconscious, what's happening then?
You are not dead yet. What's different between the dead and the living one? There must be something which is different, so we call the dead body and not die yet. Whenever citta arises and performs its function, because the function of the nama is not just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. There are altogether 15 functions of consciousness. The first function is the birth consciousness. It performs the function of succeeding the previous moment, which is the dying consciousness, which has fallen away. The karma conditioned the birth consciousness instantly, following the death consciousness, and only one moment which succeeds the death moment, and after that it does not perform that function anymore, but it performs the function of life continuum, keep on arising and falling away to be this being until the end of life. But before that, there are conditions for seeing to arise, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. They are all phenomena, which are nama and rupa, that's all. And no one can condition any reality at all. For instance, who can make up hardness here? No one.
So you have choice?
No, you.
No, I mean a person has choice?
No person, either. There can be thinking. Thinking can think different ways, but it's only thinking, not seeing, not hearing, not sleeping.
Then action is not the result of choice.
Without citta, there cannot be any move of the body or speech at all.
Well, this is a point of view that is a chosen point of view.
Thinking.
When I'm not conscious, perhaps when I'm dreaming or I'm asleep, I'm not conscious, can I take right action? Can I do good?
Okay. Can seeing do anything like good deeds?
Well, seeing is just a sense.
So what conditions action and speech? Now there is action, movement.
I have an intrinsic sense when I'm conscious that I have choice of how I choose to think and what I choose to do. And my point of view, which is the larger framework of my understanding of the moment, is what influences my choice.
So you take thinking for I?
Yes, unfortunately it's very much invested in I.
And while you are fast asleep, is there you? Because there is no thinking.
When I'm fast asleep, there's no thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that.
When you're not dreaming, when you're really in a deep
sleep. Oh, when I'm in a deep sleep, mm-hmm. Yes. I'm not sure where I am when I'm there.
But when you wake up, coming to life again,
yes.
If there is no sleeping moment, can there be moment of seeing again when one wakes up? So one can see that we think that it's I who can do this or that, but can you not sleep at all?
Oh no,
that seems to be a restriction of the physical
Why?
Body.
I see.
I suppose all I'm saying is that at the same moment that I understand that I am not self and separate, I have to act within the level at which I am enlightened. I can't behave like the Buddha because I am not the Buddha. I'm only at this point in terms of my ability to interact with the world and continue the journey.
Yes, but what Buddha knew about? He taught us.
I understand
he knew.
He became enlightened at some point.
So he taught us what he had enlightened.
That was his point of view. I don't think that there is one single truth in the sense that there's only one way to understand life or the experience that we have. I don't think there's only one way to view it.